wake up to the roosters, eat breakfast for a booster. You alive, say hallelujah to the man, the mighty ruler. Because of him, you able to do it. If you on his side, then you ain't losing. He gave clothes, food, and your roof. He tell mountains, get them moving. It's a great morning.
Wake up, wake up.
It's a great morning.
Wake up, wake up.
It's a great morning.
Wake up, wake up.
It's a great morning. Get up and go to that 9 to 5. Get up and get them dollar signs. Get up and go do overtime. Get up and put that overdrive.
What's up, world? Welcome to Great Mornings Podcast. I'm your host, James Earl Cray, and today I'm excited to have Lynch Hunt, aka Coach Lynch of AWOL, A Way of Life Fitness, with us today. Coach Lynch has over 15 years of experience as a transformation specialist and life coach, and most recently, adding to his list of ventures, he is a fitness guru. The brother is a motivational speaker, author, curriculum developer, coach, motivator, community organizer, activist, and family man. We welcome Coach Lynch to the Great Mornings Podcast. What's up, Coach? Welcome to Great Mornings Podcast. How you feeling this morning, man?
No other choice but to feel great, especially with that introduction, my brother. I appreciate it. You didn't have to say all that stuff, but man, I don't even know where all that stuff came from, man. But I know it's a great day to do great things with great people. I'm happy to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
Man, listen, we appreciate you joining us this morning, man. So what we're going to do, we're going to dive right into it. I'm excited about this. I've heard so much about you, Coach. And one of the things that I've heard about you that just intrigued me to the max is this book that you have, that you've written, titled From Prison to Prosperity. And from my understanding, this book tells your testimony. So if you will, just share with us that testimony, if you don't mind.
Now, this is a long story, but I gotta make it as short as possible because you just don't have enough time for me to go into the whole story. Yeah. All right, so, you know, Prison to Prosperity, it's a play on words. It's figurative as well as it is, exactly what it means. I did 10 years in federal prison, right? And with that time, I really transformed my life. But I got to back it all the way up to how I got to prison. So, you know, I was a regular kid growing up in New Jersey, doing regular things. Of course, my circumstances were pretty much what we would call regular for everyone else, but poverty, crime, you know, all the things that you see in a regular hood, right? And I managed to do the right thing as an adolescent and escape a lot of that stuff. I went to college for 1 year and I played football and basketball in college. I didn't last too long. So I managed to escape that stuff leading up to, you know, 17, 18 years old. But the minute that I left college, I was placed back in this environment and basically became a product of that environment after some time. I was a guy who always did things right, but I wasn't always doing the right things. So as soon as I got my hands a little, a hold of the wrong thing, I started doing the wrong thing right. And I became the leader of an $8.3 million drug ring. So I worked my way up from, you know, low level, street level drug dealing to being the leader of an $8.3 million drug ring. And the federal government, the DEA, they all they had an 18-month investigation on me. I had 24-hour surveillance, wiretaps, it was a whole big case, man. 24 people on my indictment, and we went down. We went down hard and fast, man. 24 people. I did 10 years and I transformed my life, man. I changed, man. And I had an eventful life, I like to say, but it has molded me and shaped me into the man that I am today that's able to help a lot of people moving forward. But, you know, I'm sure that you'll have more questions where I could dive into some of those details. But in short, man, I went from playing sports, excelling in school, to dropping out of school, to selling drugs, and to becoming, you know, a high-ranking drug dealer who had the largest drug bust in county history in Burlington County, New Jersey.
Wow, man. That's intriguing to me. As uncommon as this might be, me being in ministry, growing up in a very similar setting as you, man. Mother was a crack addict. Father was a crack addict. Mom kind of went from the same journey, man, from using drugs to she became a preacher serving in ministry. My father died of cancer at the age of 50, but I was always around drugs, man. Sold weed for like one whole day. Saw the cops in the park one day when I was trying to serve, man, and got so scared. I told the boys, listen, man, I'm gonna give you everything back. And that was my last time. But man, I've always been intrigued by drug dealers. So I've studied, I've read the books, Nicky Barnes' book, Mr. Untouchable, I've read. Of course, I've seen American Gangster with Frank Lucas. One of my mentors, man, served 27 years in the penitentiary for being the biggest drug dealer in our area. And he served as a mentor to me while he was in prison. And so I've always had this odd fascination, not with the selling of drugs, but with the mindset and the hustle. Because you said something that was real key, and I hope a lot of people catch it. You did the wrong thing right. You know what I mean? Because that can really happen, and you can't excel doing that if you don't do the wrong thing right. So my question is, what lesson did you learn hustling from athletics to hustling to serving time in prison that now benefits you in what you do today?
Good question, Craig. I'm telling you, man, this is awesome. All right, so check this out. For one, I was introduced to my drive. I was introduced to discipline. I was introduced into determination. Yeah. All right, so you know, when you're in poverty, you're determined to pivot and change your circumstances and just to make things better or make something out of nothing. And one time, I want to say I was about 8 or 9 years old, Craig, right? And my mom sent me to the store with a note. You know, it's corner stores all around the hood, you know, where you're from and everything. So we used to have a special relationship with the corner store people who own the store and work there. So we would go to the store with this note. And one day my curiosity allowed me to open up the note or forced me to open up the note. And the note said, can we get a pound of bologna, a dollar's worth of cheese, and a loaf of bread until Friday? So my curiosity, I'm like, if my mom works two jobs, she's never here, I never get a chance to spend time with her, why don't we have any money to feed us until Friday? So it made me feel some type of way to where, you know, I don't want to go up in the store and ask people for money anymore. So I started to do anything and everything that I could to get some of my own money in my pocket so I could feed myself and help feed my family. So at 8 or 9 years old, not only did I become an entrepreneur, but I became a man who I could provide for my little brother, my sister, when my mom was at work and things like that. And I started to rake leaves, shovel snow, cut hair, wash shoes. You know, I could do anything and everything to get a couple dollars. And from the time I was 9 years old, I had money in my pocket for the rest of my life. I've always had money in my pocket because, you know, just learning how to pivot, being determined, and just the discipline that sports taught me from playing football, from Pop Warner, from 7 years old, 8 years old, learning how to be a component in something that is bigger and larger than you, teaches you team values and family values. So I took all of these things that I learned, and I was never, look, Cray, I was never the fastest dude. Of course, I'm not the tallest. I'm only 5'11", right? I was never the smartest. You know, my GPA, I was messing around with B's and C's and things like that. So I was never the smartest. I was never the fastest. I was never the tallest, but I still became the captain of all my sports teams. Like from growing up all the way to high school, football, basketball, and baseball, I was the captain of every team. So I was taught to be the example, and I learned how to be a leader just by being the example. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense, man.
I took all that stuff to drug dealing. I took entrepreneurship. I took discipline, determination, trying to make something out of nothing, being an example, being a leader. I took all that stuff into whatever I got my hands on, because you know what the word says, whatever thy hand finds to do, do it with all thy might. Yeah. See, I used to just take bits and pieces of it, you know what I'm saying? And then try to add all them things unto me. I just forgot about the righteous law and seeking, you know, the kingdom of God first. You understand what I'm saying?
Right, right. Yeah. Man, that's awesome. That's amazing, man. And I'm telling you, this is just perfect timing to hear this story, man, and connect. Our first time even speaking, man, it's such a connection. And just listening to your story, again, is just so similar to mine, man. I took the same principles. Sports taught me everything I needed to know about everything I tried in life. Just like you said, determination, the drive. So it was easy to cultivate life when you look back, especially playing football, man. You get knocked down, you get back up. I don't care if you hurt, you get back up. And you walk your way to the sideline. So all those things, man. And it just kind of leads us in the segue of a couple other questions that I got. So what exactly is a transformation specialist?
Yo, this is dope. You're never going to hear this nowhere else. So for one, I liken the transformation specialist as a process expert. All right. And when I say that, I mean, I'm simply saying that a process expert has like a step-by-step comprehensive method that can take you from point A to Z. Let me explain this to you. The word transform, right? Mm-hmm. Trans means to go above, beyond, across, and over. Form simply means your current state or shape or structure. When you put it together, you're saying, look, go beyond your current state, right?
Yeah.
Now, I want you to understand this. A lot of people don't seek transformation because they have no idea what it actually means. Mm. So the thing that they actually seek doesn't go far enough to get them somewhere where they can actually stay and learn to love to be there.
Wow.
So they only go about halfway. So listen, you got two things. Be not conformed, but be transformed, right?
Right.
So you're going to either conform or transform. One end of the spectrum and the other end of the spectrum. If you never get to transformation or don't have transformation at the beginning or the forefront of your mind as the destination, then you're going to fall somewhere in between. And the only thing you can do is conform or transform.
That's good.
The other stuff is going to keep you in limbo and you'll never be fulfilled until you reach transformation.
That's good, man. That's good. So how long exactly? I know we said in the bio over 15 years, but how long? Because sometimes we're doing a thing before we're doing it, if that makes sense. Like you are already kind of doing this transformation with other people, testing it, pilot type. So how long have you been doing this in total?
Yes, sir. So, you know, We like to fluff a little bit for the resume and things like that. But truth be told, man, I gained a bunch of weight when I left college. And I left college in 95. I went to college in 93, left in 95, and didn't lose weight until 2003, right? Wow. Before 2002, right before I went to prison. Okay. And then as I lost weight, I started to fall in love with the entire process. That was the beginning of my expertise, because at that time, I wanted to learn more, know more, do more, and be able to help more people do the same thing that I did.
Yeah.
I lost 70 pounds in 6 months. And I said, there's not a lot of alphas out there that's going to be able to just turn on a switch and make this happen like that. So I began to seek out a process that I could then show other people what to do and how to do it and get the same results that I got.
Oh, man, that's dope, man. So what separates what you do from other fitness leaders?
I touched on this a few minutes ago, but so the vision is different. The
okay.
reason why the vision is different, because the end is different. So if the end is different, then the thought process is different. So the fact that I don't do fitness makes me a one of one. So I don't do fitness, I do transformation. So wow. Listen, let me tell you something. If somebody was to ask me, I work with Eric Thomas. You familiar with Eric Thomas?
Yeah, I know ET.
I worked with Eric Thomas before, right? And one time he asked me, he said, what? Can you describe what you do in one word? And I was like the only cat that ever answered this question in like 2.5 seconds. I was like, yeah, I do transformation. So I'm here to educate, motivate, and empower people to transform their mind and body so they can ultimately live the life of abundance. You hear what I said?
Yeah.
Educate, motivate, empower people to transform their mind and body so they can ultimately live the life of abundance. I just use fitness as a platform. So if I'm a process expert, then that makes my thought level transcend fitness.
Gotcha.
You hear me? Okay, now, experts, not program experts, right? These are people in the fitness industry. They're only program experts.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing that their expertise is only lend to fitness. They can't go outside of this. But we know that, look, from the word, that true transformation can't happen without a renewal of the mind.
Right.
Right? All right, look, true transformation can't happen without a renewal of the mind. So if somebody comes to an entity or a gym, right, seeking a transformation, we know that it can't happen without a renewal of the mind. None of their programs deal with the mind.
Wow.
So I came up with a holistic style of approach to training where I had to deal with the total man, the mind, the body, and the spirit. Because I needed people to not just get to the land of milk and honey once, but to stay there.
Wow.
I needed them to understand what it was like to once taste abundance, have abundance, but know that it's your natural right. So if it's your right, you're not going to do nothing to sabotage not having it. See, some people, they get a transformation, then they go back.
Go back.
Right? That's called reform, right? Mm. But when I got into the criminal justice aspect of things, right? I said, no, I'm here to transform the criminal justice system because y'all just been trying to reform it.
Mm.
And that simply means, in word, in the beginning was the word, it means to go back.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
That's good.
And we're trying to transform. We're trying to go above and beyond the current state of what they have set forth in law, right?
Uh-huh.
Because, all right, I won't go too deep, man.
Go ahead, man.
That's the reason why it ain't working, because they've been trying to reform it.
Right.
Make sense?
Yeah.
So when people come to me for a transformation, I let them know we about to transcend what you think you're coming for. And it ain't just sets, reps, and exercises. You're about to have a renewal of the mind, and you're going to have something that pulls you in to the future. It pulls you into abundance. It pulls you into your goals, your dreams, and to your destiny.
Wow, man. That's amazing. I mean, I'm over, literally over your hype now, man. I'm just listening to you, man, and the motivation that comes just from your passion and just hearing it in your voice and just thinking about how many people are paying thousands, some tens of thousands of dollars to get their bodies transformed, but their mind's still jacked up. And if your body, and like you said, if your body transforms but your mind don't, you'll go right back even in the body. So man, that's incredible. And I hope people are hearing
that. In prison, we call that recidivism.
Wow.
In prison, we call it recidivism, which 3 out of 4 people will return back to prison.
Right.
You hear me? I wrote a book on prison and prosperity, but I wasn't talking about shackles, chains.
Yeah.
I wasn't talking about Department of Corrections. I was talking about anything that restricts your movement. I was talking about prisons that could be in your mind, prisons that could be in your social life, prisons that could be in your neighborhood, prisons that could be in your finances, prison that could be wherever, your emotional state, wherever they could be. I was going to help you flip on a light by understanding these principles.
Wow. That's good, man. And it's interesting you say that, man, because I got a lot of homeboys, a lot of friends that's been in and out of the penal system, man. They it's just been a cycle. And I had opportunity to sit down and talk to one of them that I call brother. We real close. And he told me straight up, he said, man, when I came home, I couldn't get a job. You know, there were no opportunities. People looked down on me. He said, and the only out that I had was to go back to doing what I did. So I want to ask you this question, man, because I saw again that you work with prison reform and you're an activist and you're a community organizer. Man, what are some of the things that you're doing for brothers like this to keep, and brothers and sisters like this, to keep them from going through that same cycle? Because a lot of them feel like there is no out. There is no other opportunity. There is no other way.
Check this out. I got something huge going on right now. I work with a guy named Congressman Mark Walker, and he's retiring this year from Congress. And I think quiet as kept, he's running for Senate or something like that. But check this out. He introduced a bill, a legislation into Congress based on my story and my life. Wow. And it's actually to help guys like your bro, look, have an apprenticeship before they even get to the street, to give them an opportunity that won't look, that he won't have to worry about where this is going to come from and that's going to come from when he finally hits the bricks. He already going to be set up and working in the field that he chose when he was inside.
Wow.
When he renewed his mind. You hear what I said?
Yeah.
So look, I go back into prisons now. I go into jails. I keynote speak at their graduations. I go in there and talk at cognitive behavioral training classes. Yo, it's so much stuff that I do for the people that are walking the life that I came out of, the valley that I came through. You hear me?
Yeah.
That I got to teach them how to, I'm just real talk. You know what I'm saying? I got to teach them how to see the light and see the creator and find it when they in the valley.
Wow.
By the death, by killing. You hear me? I go by the motto that something got to die for something to live. And I mean simply that the flesh got to die daily. So every day I had to kill that old me. That piece of me that wanted to go back, that piece of me that lusted something outside of a monogamous relationship, that piece of me that didn't respect the almighty dollar, that piece of me that didn't have enough courage to settle down and start a family. Like, I had to put so much distance between me and that man that I knew whenever we come up against each other again, I'd have the upper hand.
Wow, man. That's powerful, man, and I'm hoping and believing that people will get this message, and really take it to heart, man. And I hope it's able to be able to reach a lot of brothers and a lot of sisters that experience that cycle, man, because they need to hear it. I just heard you say that you worked with ET, who is one of my favorite motivational speakers. Early on, I listened to him all the time. Still listen to him a lot now. I think he's even pastoring now. Which is super dope, because he always called himself the hip hop pastor. I also heard you say you worked with the congressman. So who are some of the notable people that you work with and some of the notable events that you've been a part of?
This isn't a person, but I work with the city of Greensboro. I think is one of my most prized accomplishments right now, because last year I did the keynote speech for the Martin Luther King annual breakfast. And I'm talking about everybody in the city there, you know, over 1500 people there. And I was the keynote speaker, you know, all of the city officials, you know, you talk about judges and chief of police and everybody. But I worked with the city of Greensboro, and it was truly an honor to be up there and to give my testimonial, you know, as being a reflection of the dream. And it was pretty dope for me to change perspectives. And I was a little bit, not the conventional speaker, wow, so to speak, of what they may have had in the past. Yeah. But we sold the most tickets the fastest and got the best reviews in a very long time. So they were very pleased with picking me as the keynote speaker for that. Locally, I work with Tracy McCain. She's the Good Morning Show host of WFMY News 2 Good Morning Show. I helped her lose 70 pounds twice. She had two kids, gained 70 and 80 pounds, lost that weight back. Now she's just having another baby right now. She's doing 8 weeks, and we got to do it again. I guess, you know, just me being an expert, she definitely has faith in me helping her get that off again. Three different congressmen, not just Mark Walker, but John Hardister and Amos Quick as well as congressmen that I've worked with in the past. The chief of police, the current chief of police, Brian James, man, he's my guy. You heard me say Eric Thomas, but Tariq Cohen, Chicago Bears.
Okay, yeah.
Alumni A&T. I had a chance to work with him. All these people signed my book and everything, like literally gave in the beginning of the book.
Forward.
They all did that for me. Tony McCray from the Bengals, Deshaun Jackson from the Eagles. Okay. I mean, I was first home in the halfway house, and I was able to do Deshaun Jackson's camp. When I first came home in the halfway house, I was just making a lot of noise. Who else? You may know Kenneth Leonard and Tasha Cobbs Leonard.
Right. Yeah.
I, work with them. Who else? Chico Bean from Wildin' Out.
Really?
Yeah. who else? Bishop and First Lady Pierce.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I got a host of a bunch of people, man. I've done a lot of organizations. I work with the CP3 National AAU Circuit, where I talk at their combines when they go on, like, have national combines.
Right.
So I go out there and there'll be 1,000 kids there, and I'll go motivate them and give them some great stuff. But yeah, I work with a lot of colleges and things like that as well.
Man, that's a dope resume, man. And we're going to definitely be praying that God keeps connecting you, man, around this globe. People need the whole body, mind, and soul, you know, the total transformation, as you was mentioning, man. And I can just hear the passion, and I'm a guy that picks up on passion, because I'm passionate like you about everything I do. Man, one final question I ask you, man, and this is pretty much for the audience and the listeners. What are some tips you'll share with our listeners to assist them in transforming their mind, body, and soul in 21?
So here's what I'll tell you real quick. All right, we live in three dimensions: third dimension, fourth dimension, fifth dimension. You got your body, your mind, and your spirit. All right, your spirit, we all are, our goal is to live in the higher self, all right? Get as close as we can with the spirit man, and, you know, in the spirit of God and things like that. But there's some things that stand in our way, all right? One is our emotion. Our mind communicates with our body through our emotion.
Right.
And a lot of us are too emotional on what we got going on, so we don't never make a move. But I'm here to tell you that motion can create emotion. I'll say it again. Motion can create emotion, where if you just start moving, you'll change your mind.
Right.
I'll say it again. You'll change your mind, and you'll change the way you feel. So I get people to start where they are with what they got and make something happen. I get them to make very small little achievable goals, because once you start to perform those repetitions and get accomplishment, you'll get some confidence. And that confidence will turn into empowerment over time.
Wow.
So those little goals being done over and over and over again will change things. And once you move a little bit closer, a little bit further from your phone, or from that spot, or from that couch, you'll start to be able to see the end again, the vision again, the dream again, the goal again, the desire again, right? And that's how we communicate with the spirit, through desire, imagination, and goals and dreams, okay?
Gotcha.
But the reason why we can't get in the spirit is because of our ego, all right? I'm gonna say that again, because of our ego. Ego simply means easing God out, or edging him out, right? But the ego's only designed to keep you safe. So when this ego comes in, it just wants you to be comfortable. So it doesn't want you to pursue your dreams, pursue your goals, or pursue that thing that's been tugging at your heart or weighing on you for quite some time, because it just wants you to be safe and regular. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm with you.
But motion can change your emotion. It can change your energy. And the reason why me and you are connecting like this is because of energy. And we know from the law of thermodynamics that energy is never lost. It's just transferred from person to person. It's never created or destroyed, but it can be changed when acted upon from an outside agent. Sometimes you have to be the outside agent for you, instead of allowing Dr. Eric Thomas to be that outside agent.
Right.
So I give you the things that you can take, right, and internalize them, right, and regurgitate them to make you go and grow. That makes sense?
Make a lot of sense.
So for those of you who think you have to go get this big gym membership or hire a big personal trainer, you don't. All you have to do is get up and walk outside your front door and go for a 15 to 20 minute walk in one direction, and then come back 15 to 20 minutes direction to your front door, and you will just have performed 30 to 40 minutes of low intensity steady state cardio. If you do that in the absence of glucose on a fasted stomach, in the morning, when you first wake up, you will change your insulin sensitivity issues, and the food will no longer stick to you. You can use it for fuel.
Wow.
You'll begin to start burning fat just from walking in the morning on a fasted stomach. You'll start to lose some weight immediately just by doing some small things. And we all know that small things can lead to big changes, because the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step.
Yes, sir.
That's right, Craig. That's what I'm talking about.
That's good, man. That's good. And that's a word. And I hope everybody's listening and taking heed to it. It starts that simple, man, on a fasted stomach, waking up, walking for 15 minutes in one direction, 15 minutes back in the same direction. That's too easy, man, for us not to be doing, especially with the times that we're living in right now. Man, Coach, tell everybody where they can find you at, man, and how they can get connected to you.
Check me out on itsawol.com, itsawol.com, right? Or iamcoachlynch.com, iamcoachlynch.com. And you can find all my body of work on these sites right here. You can get in touch with me. I guarantee you I give you something that you need to succeed.
Yeah. Awesome. Listen, we appreciate you so much, Coach. Thank you, man, for being a part of this. Thank you for being a part of this journey. Thank you for your energy. Thank you for your words. And man, listen, thank you for your testimony. And the most important thing I'll say to you right now, brother to brother, thank you for enduring the process, man. Thank you for enduring the process.
It's great. I really received those words, man. I appreciate you for having me, brother, and having my daughter look all around and just everywhere. But it's just energy, right?
It's energy. It's absolutely. Energy. Absolutely. Right. Wow. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. Coach Lynch, everybody. I'm talking about just blew up the spot. I'm just still in awe just thinking about some of the things he said and the significance of energy. Don't forget that. Don't let your Christian beliefs, your religion beliefs scare you from the thought of energy. It is significant, it's important, and it matters. So I'm still in awe. Thank you so much, Coach Lynch. I appreciate you. Listen, everybody, thank y'all for joining us today. Thank you for being with us today. Y'all already know how we rock and how we roll. No matter what obstacles you face in this life today, no matter what challenges come your way, always remember this. It's a great day to be great. I love y'all, but God loves you so much more. Y'all have a phenomenal rest of the week. Peace.